for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, September the 1st, 2003. Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dale Copeland of Worcester, Oklahoma, is the speaker on this.
I'm trying to find the notes that I want here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I asked the question some time back to our assembly, can God be proved? And I got various answers. And the next question that I asked was, can the kingdom of God in you be proved? See, Jesus knows where the kingdom is, and he knows what it is. And the kingdom of God's not what a lot of people or a lot of what of men think. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Now, that manifests itself in a natural realm, but it is all spiritual. And the kingdom of God will never come by observation. See, the scripture says that. It's in you. You're not going to look out there and say, there's the kingdom. What, if you ever say that, the only reason you'll ever be able to see a manifestation is because of what is in somebody being manifested out. You see what I'm saying? In other words, when somebody has love, they manifest love. But you don't see the love, you see the results of love. And so we'll never maybe see the kingdom with the physical eye, but you'll see the result of the manifestation of the kingdom that's within us with the physical eye. The result of it, the consequences of the kingdom of God being in us will bring forth life, joy, peace in the Holy Ghost. And so, can the kingdom of God be that's in you be proved? Can you prove the kingdom of God? And so I begin a study and a search on this to see what the Word of God had to say about it. I am most interested. Let me say what I'm not interested in. I am not interested in ministering, whether in our home church or whether here or anywhere else. I'm not interested in ministering messages to people so they can just get blessed, stick it in their little satchel, and go home. I'm not interested in filling up somebody's notebook farther, though we should take notes. But I'm not interested in that, and you never open it up again. You know, I got notebooks full of notes that you never revisit. And I'm not interested in blessing you for just yourself. I'm interested in equipping people so that they might do the work of service unto the Lord. For too long, we have misunderstood what the prophet, apostle, evangelist, pastor, and teacher was given for. The Bible said it was for the perfection. That word literally means the equipping of the saints. And therefore, if you have a prophet and he does not teach you how to prophesy, now you got to hear what I'm saying. Because if we don't duplicate ourselves, we're nothing.
There you go.
If we die, then it dies. See, that's why God said Abraham was his friend. He said, I know him. He will command his children. And what he was saying is, I won't have to start from another heathen scratch. He will teach his children what I've taught him, and it'll keep being passed on. That's why it's called the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. It was passed on. God didn't have to start on the bottom again every generation. But the church world hasn't done that, and they've had to start on the bottom every generation. You see? So, and that's what's happened in the ministry. You know, we have not duplicated ourselves, so when a pastor dies or something like that in a move of God church or a kingdom church, the non-denominal churches, a lot of times them doors close.
because there's been no duplication. They have not equipped anybody else. So I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in us just getting a good blessing and going home. I'm interested in equipping us so that we can go do the work of the ministry. See, the Bible said these signs will follow them that believe, not them that preach. These signs will follow them that believe what was preached. See? And if they're not following, then maybe we haven't believed. Maybe we thought we believed. I've heard people say, well, I'm trying to believe. You know, the man told Jesus, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. You know, well, the unbelief is what stops everything from taking place in our life. I found out in the healing ministry from my own experience as well as others that have much greater success, been doing it much longer than I. Deliverance ministry and all of these things, I find out that it's not people's lack of faith, it's their unbelief. Now you say, well, unbelief is lack of faith. Well, it's kind of like saying weeds in your garden is lack of vegetables in your garden. No, really not. But weeds can grow up and kill you and choke your vegetables out. See, everybody's been given a measure of faith. There ain't nobody in here don't have enough faith to get healed or to get somebody else healed. But what you have to do is get rid of your doubt. See, a lot of times we have faith in Jesus. We believe. How many times have you seen, my goodness, how many sick people do you know that believes in healing? Yeah, I mean, you see what I'm saying? I want to teach us a little bit. Can the kingdom of God be proved, and what is it to do the work of God? And the work of God is easy to do. It may take much in the sense of it takes great commitment. It takes your life to commit to this, but it's easy to do because I'm not doing it. See, we've seen many, many miracles and many people healed, and I ain't never healed nobody. So it don't bother me if somebody comes, if somebody's in a wheelchair, if somebody's crippled, if somebody's got cancer. That don't move me because I didn't heal the headache. It wasn't me. See, when it's not you and you know it's not you, and it's Jesus, you're not able to. You wasn't able to heal the hurt finger, you know. Nor are you able to heal cancer. But it's Jesus, and when you understand that, you rest on what He's done. He's done it right. It's easy to have faith. Now, what I'm saying now, we've got evangelists, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers. And when one goes off of the scene, then what has happened is we've had nobody for a period of time, and then somebody finally comes along. Actually, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher was given for the perfecting or the equipping of the saints, and we've not done too good a job at that. That's the truth. We have not. We ought to have more that has an absolute word from God. All right, it's the same way in the ministry of deliverance or the ministry of healing or anything else. If whatever ministry God may have given you, and by the way, I kind of am reluctant to say the ministry of healing or the ministry of deliverance. And here's why. Because it's anytime you get the ministry of healing, that's not all. And we're saying, well, we're doing the ministry of Jesus. No, you're not. Not if that's all you're doing. Because Jesus didn't just heal. See, Jesus also cast out devils. But let me tell you something. We can cast out devils and get people healed, and we're still not doing the ministry of Jesus till we raise the dead. I'm going to challenge you to go a step farther and get out of our comfortable zone, because it's all in the book. He said what they would do and what we would do, and we like to take the easy part, like speaking new tongues. But What about the rest of the ministry of Jesus? See, that's kind of like saying that that you own the company or that you're running the company when really all you're doing is sweeping the floor. That you're running the company. You're not, you know, if you may, excuse me, if you're running the company, you may sweep the floor, but you'll be doing a lot of other things too. In other words, you're going to be overseeing, you're going to be a part. If we're going to do the ministry of Jesus, Jesus hasn't excluded, okay, I've got, you only do this and nothing else. See, the Holy Ghost in us, he said, these signs will follow them that believe. And it tells what they will do. And he said, you teach them to observe everything that I've commanded you to do. And he told them to raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, make the blind eyes see, preach the good news to the poor, cast out devils. They wasn't specialized men.
Okay.
They were men of God.
That's right.
See, we have brought this thing down. I said a while back, it's like taking a log, a big log, and whittling it all down to a toothpick and say, here's the wood. Here's the message. Here's the ministry. Well, yeah, it's part of it, but it's so little of it that it's almost unrecognizable. And we are absolutely interested in equipping the body of Christ for the work of the ministry so that they might. Listen, there's more. I found out something. People in our assembly, every week they contact more people than I ever will. And if Jesus is only in the church house, see, if he's only in the building, the church is the people, and Jesus is in them, and that means the power of God is in them. That means the kingdom of God is in them. That means they are seated with him. It's not only the preachers that's seated with Christ. Now, I understand, and you have to understand, we need Jesus taught and instructed. And anybody that just jumps up and wants to run, what they're going to find out is when they get there, they ain't going to have nothing to say. They're not going to have anything that can be received. And they're going to be mixed up, and you can do more harm than good. One time we had a Founders Day parade when I was a kid, and I had a horse that we really liked. We had about 23 horses, and I begged my dad to let me ride this horse. Well, when we got right downtown, that horse started bucking straight down Main Street, scattering the whole parade, you know. In other words, I took something that wasn't ready to take.
All right.
That under certain conditions, man, when the horn started blowing and people was a-hollering, they started throwing gum across, you know, and candy and stuff, that horse got excited. How many times have you seen somebody say, well, I tried to talk to so-and-so about the Lord, and I tried to help them, and they just got mad at me and said they didn't want to hear nothing? It's probably because we didn't have the wisdom, had not set and been taught how to have the wisdom to dispel people's offenses so that they might be able to receive. You know, I say it like this. When you cook an egg and you fry an egg and you give it to somebody, it has all the nutrition in it when it has no salt or no pepper on it, but I don't like it. If you're going to give me an egg, I want some seasoning on it. It's still got the same nutrition, but it is not tasteful. And you know what? A lot of people can put something out, and if it's not easily received, the Scripture said, season your words. That they might be eaten. That takes the wisdom of God. That takes somebody sitting long enough to be taught something. And so it's of utmost importance that they be equipped. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, I got a long ways to go in a very short time. May I have a glass of water, please? A bottle will be fine. Can the kingdom of God be proved in you? Do you realize that we are anointed to do the impossible? We are anointed to do the impossible. My God. The Scripture said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost Thank you, brother. And with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, well, let me go on. He said, God anointed Jesus. And so, because of the anointing, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. How many of you has God with you? Okay. All right. And it says, and we are witnesses. Can it be proved? We are witnesses. You get in a court of law, how do they prove things? Witnesses. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let what? Everything be established, is what the Scripture said. It says, we are witnesses of the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Luke chapter 4. Can the kingdom of God be proved in you? Now, here he said he was anointed. How was that anointing proved? You can stand and say, I'm anointed of the Lord. I feel the Spirit. I got the anointing all over me. But that don't mean anything unless you do something with the anointing. All you're doing is just like saying, I fixed breakfast and you can't have any and I'll eat it all myself. I'm going to enjoy this. Not going to. Let's see, the anointing is given to us for battle. It is given to us for the work of the ministry. The presence of God, I seldom ever would differentiate or separate the anointing from the presence of God. But the presence of God is in us for fellowship. It's in us for unification, for peace. It's in us, the presence of God is in us to make us whole. But the anointing of God is in us to pour out, to minister to others. It's not, see, when I was growing up, well, I thought the anointing of God was to make us dance. You know, get to feeling good and shout and tear up the furniture. And my goodness, in our assembly some time back, well, oh, it's been a few years ago. Well, I was down there, it was late at night, and I was just worshiping the Lord, and I was just lost in the Spirit, and I was dancing before God with all my might. And I tell you what, I turned my right ankle, and I knocked over 12, 15 chairs before I finally got stopped. Sprung my ankle, and anyway, I don't want to get on that rabbit trail for the law. I refuse to see. The enemy says, "Well, if that was God, you was feeling, that would never have happened." I said, "I know it was God, and I'm going to dance for the Lord." And I tell you, it hurt when I put the first weight on it. I thought I was going to pass out, and I began to dance. Pain and all. And within 10 minutes, I didn't have no pain. Gone. No effects. So was it God? Yeah, it was God. You can prove the kingdom of God. You can prove. See, what is the kingdom of God, by the way? What does kingdom mean? The kingdom means realm. Right? And God is what? God is a spirit. So if you talk about the kingdom of God, you've got to talk about the realm of the spirit. Most people don't think. They think of a physical something with righteousness ruling in it. But the kingdom of God is in you. The realm of the Spirit is in you. And Jesus said, thy kingdom or thy realm, the dimension of the Spirit, come. See, there's a lot of difference here. Listen, the difference is the power of God operating in our lives instead of always just looking for something to come. See, that's the difference. When you get the realm of the Spirit working in you, I happen to know something. Jesus is in His kingdom. See, He didn't send His kingdom and He's off somewhere else. And He's you know what? The Scripture said, He said that the Father was in Him and He was in the Father. Well, if the Father's in Jesus and Jesus is in His kingdom, the Father's in His kingdom. And the throne of God is in the kingdom. It's not hanging out somewhere in space. It's in the kingdom too. You say, oh, well, that's spiritual. What do you think God is? God is spirit. And if we do any worshiping, and any true worship, it's going to be in the spirit and in truth. Praise the Lord. So there's a way to prove the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 4, 31, 36 through 36, it says, "And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine." Why? "For his word was with power." Now, that is not saying that he was a powerful speaker. It's not saying he was a good orator or he spoke real loud and real bold. That's not what that's saying. His word was with power. Simply what it amounted to, the kingdom of God was in action. All right? Now, we're going to see here. "And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God.' And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Hold thy peace, and come out of him.' And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake amongst themselves, saying, 'What a word is this?'" Because it wasn't just a powerful word to excite people. "But what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they came out." In other words, he proved he didn't just have a story to tell. There was a punch behind what he said. There was some power that followed up that proved that he had what he was talking about. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. The scripture said, "And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." You're going to find power. Anytime you find the Son of God, you're going to find power. Anytime you find Jesus, you're going to find power. A lot of people are sitting around waiting on what's already in front of them, available, and we just need to come and dine. We just need to be a partaker and get busy in the kingdom of God. Matthew 24 and 3. Let's see, I don't want to go there. I want to, in Mark chapter 8, 38. Mark 8, 38. We'll skip some of this here. I want to keep us zeroed in on one thing here. It says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation." Now, what adulterous and sinful generation? We're reading this 2,000 years later after it was wrote. If I said this one, you know what y'all would think? You'd think of this one. Well, when Jesus said this one, that's the one he was thinking. That was the one he was in. See, that's easy when you think of it. When we start talking about the end time and things like that, a lot of people don't understand that there was a world that passed away that come to an end, and there was an end time at Jesus' time. He come at the end of the world. See, he brought an end to something. So, and there was another world that had passed away. The Bible said in 2 Peter, I believe it is, said the earth standing in the water, the out of the water, the heavens being of old. Let's see, the heavens being of old, the earth standing in the water, now the water, the world that then was, perished. But the heaven and the earth which are now, which meant there was a heaven and earth that passed away then. See, I'm talking spiritual things. And there was a heaven and earth that was then under the law, and it had to pass away. And now we're in another heaven and earth, a cosmos, a world. And so when Jesus talks about the end of the world, you're going to have to know which end, which world he's talking about, or we're going to get some things really messed up. And what has happened is the end of the world has come, and the great power and authority is ours, and everybody's waiting on it to happen. You see? Because we have not understood the scriptures. I don't have time to teach on that today. I want to. It says, "Whoever be ashamed of me and my words in this sinful and adulterous generation, of him shall also the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Now, and chapter 9, verse 1. "And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here," that was 2,000 years ago, "which shall not taste of death," they won't die, they won't lay their body down, "till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." You realize that the Bible, what he's saying, Do you see any of them? He said they won't taste the death till the kingdom of God has come with power. While we still sit around and wait on the kingdom of God to come with power, Jesus said there's some of them back there 2,000 years ago that was not going to lay their body down until the kingdom of God had come with power. When I seen that, it's been a few years ago, several years ago, when I seen that, I thought, oh God, what a waste of time we have had if we had only understood this and not been plundered for the philosophy. The scripture said being spoiled by philosophy and the vain deceit of men. We've been plundered. To be plundered means you've been robbed. Somebody has overcome you and robbed you of the good things of God. And let me tell you something. Doctrines and religions rob us. They plunder us. They take away the power and always give it to another day. And I said so many times, we just keep passing this thing on from one generation to another. Just keep passing it on and blaming God for us not getting a hold of something. When we understand here, Jesus understood. He said, there's some of you that's standing here that ain't going to lay their body down till they've seen. Now, if it ain't come with power, then they're still around here somewhere. And we need to find them. So if they're not around here, then it's come with power. Now, what are we going to do with it? See, now, what we've been waiting on is available. Now, what are we going to do about it? That's the question. And in Luke chapter 17 and 20 and 21, the Pharisees was demanding when the kingdom of God would come. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in you. There ain't but one kingdom. There ain't but one throne. And that happens to be in you. And you happen to be seated with Him. Same place He's seated. He's seated at the Father's right hand. And the Bible said you're seated with Him. Well, if you're only symbolically seated, then He's only symbolically seated. I don't want to buy that one, do you? I don't want to say He's only symbolically seated. Well, then I can't say I'm only symbolically seated. Because the same word, matter of fact, is just a few verses down that says I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. See, we have made the gospel and we've made the plan of God natural things as of men instead of things as of God. And I'm going to tell you something. God is not going to change His plan to fit our ideal of it. We're going to have a greater understanding and change and get in line with His. And you know what we'll do? We'll do the works that Jesus did. It's just that simple. He didn't struggle and strive and squeeze out a miracle. He didn't do it. It was God working in him. You see. That we've got to understand it. But you know what? We try so hard to get something done. We need to let God, we need to get an understanding that it is not of us. Jesus said, the works I do are not of myself. He said, of my own self, I can do nothing. See? So, but we ain't quite got that yet. I mean, we still need a little more adjusting in our revelation, in our understanding. But he said, lo here, don't say, neither will they say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God. And I've always said, I think he knew where it was at. You know, you want to argue with Jesus? Okay. But I'm not going to argue with him. I'm going to agree with him and find the power that's in that kingdom. He said there's some of you ain't going to taste of death till you've seen it come with power. It's been here 2,000 years with power. And we have been plundered away from it. We have been spoiled by the enemy and by the words of the enemy that has absolutely robbed us of the power of the kingdom of God that's in us. You see, so in Luke chapter... Well, that's another one I'll try to skip. I'm trying to get, there's so many, much I want to get to. Luke chapter 24, verse 49.
Sometimes when you start cutting things out, you cut too much out. And you get tired, just wave a white flag and surrender. Luke 24, verse 49. Behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with what?
Power.
That's the same. It's the same power that he said that the kingdom of God come with power. It's the same power. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 16, we'll read through 21 because this is people have not understood the last days. You listen to television and the end time, quote, end time prophets. They have not understood that Jesus come at the end of a world and that there was a heaven and earth that passed away. It got old. How many of you knows heavens get old?
Yes.
The Bible said they get old.
Yes.
Which one? I don't want to go to an old one. I don't want an old one. And it also said there's going to be on fire. They're going to melt with fervent heat. So, the heavens being on fire, the elements melting with fervent heat. If you think that's natural things, then we need to understand that the elements is the rudiments of the law. It's the same word in other places that talks about the rudiments of the law. It's the same Greek word. See, the elements that melted it was the Holy Ghost and fire. When they began to preach, he said he'd make his ministers a flame of fire. And when they began to preach the new covenant, they began to preach the Holy Ghost and Jesus Christ, it began to burn the elements of the law up. You see, it began to burn all of them things up. That thing began, it caught that spiritual order that was of God. It had gotten old, but it put it on fire. You see, and it passed with a loud noise. You realize it said they would pass with a loud noise? It passed. I'm telling you something, the sound. Apostle Paul, he was called Saul. He went out breathing threatenings and slaughtering Christians. You think that thing didn't pass with a loud noise? Everywhere anybody went to preach Jesus, if they thought that they was trying to do away with the law, they wanted to crucify them. They wanted to kill them. They didn't want that thing to pass. We could spend some time there, but like I say, that's the ending of a world. That was the last days of something. I could teach on the last days. We'll find out that John said it's the last hour. Peter said it's the last days. That was 2,000 years ago he said it. You see? So if we don't understand what's available to us now, you know what we're going to do? We're going to be tricked to the enemy. We're going to die talking about what's coming. See, that's a beautiful... Satan don't care what you believe, long as you put it off till tomorrow to get it. That's the truth, folks. That's the truth. I mean, this is serious business. God wants to equip us to do the work of ministry. He wants to equip us to do what Jesus did. And so, he said, but this is that... Now you got to understand the story. I don't want to read it all. You got to understand the story. What happened was the Holy Ghost had been poured out, right? And they were speaking in other tongues, and as flames of fire, as a fire had settled on each one. There was a rushing mighty wind. We know all that scripture, and some of them says, "Well, these guys is drunk. They're this, they're that." But here's Peter's answer. But this is that. This is that. We need to get this one. That was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, what was that? It shall come to pass in the last days. What did it do? Come before the last days? No. What he was saying, the prophecy is fulfilled that Joel said that would happen in the last days. See, he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. What did Joel say? It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders. Now you can't just stop at 18, because you may not understand, or I might not understand what all he's saying here. I do understand. He said, this is that
that was spoken by the prophet Joel, the prophecy is being fulfilled. I do understand that. I might not understand the intricate things about some of it. And it says, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, before the cross, before the Holy Ghost had been given, it was not whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you was not of the house of Israel, you was in trouble. You was in trouble. Jesus, what did he say? I come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what he said. But after the cross, it was whosoever will. It didn't matter what nation or nationality you was of. You didn't have to be a Jew. You didn't have to be of the bloodline of the house of Israel. You could be of any bloodline in the whosoever will. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the goodness of God. Now, but what I want us to see here, he said, this is that. That the prophet said in the last days, this is going to happen. You know what? The prophecy people and stuff today, they say this is still, now if somebody starts prophesying things increase now, they say this is that. No, that ain't what Peter said. Peter said this is that 2,000 years ago. The kingdom of God is in us. It has come with power. You see? This is that. And what was that? The Holy Ghost had come. And what had happened, there was many things that had happened in the signs in the earth beneath, the heaven above, and all. I feel such a need to take time in and deal with that, but I don't have the time to deal with it. Every cosmos, every world, there's five different Greek words in the King James Bible that deals with the, and it's translated world. Now, there's also translated other words, but they're also translated world. And when you got five different words and they all mean different things, it's pretty misleading. And unless a person studies to show themselves approved and begins to understand which cosmos he's talking about, the last days of which cosmos, which heaven and which earth. You see, so having said that, let me go on here because I don't want to get on a side trail. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, we'll read through 18. Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the good news of the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Now, be ye followers of me, we're going to see what Paul did. Be ye followers of me. Doesn't mean just believe what I say. See, to be a follower of Jesus doesn't mean that you just believe what he says. To be a follower of Jesus, those that followed Jesus, they done the works Jesus did. He anointed them to do them.
Yes.
See, I told my wife, I said, boy, when the Lord began dealing with me about this, I said, I don't think we believe. The Bible said that after the Holy Ghost come upon you, you should receive power. I said, I'm not so sure. I think we've been plundered. I think we call the Holy Ghost something that we got the tongues without the power. We got this without the power. We got that. Everything's without the power. We've been plundered, folks. I mean, see, Satan don't care how much you speak in tongues if you don't manifest no power over him. You can stare him in the face, and I've seen devils act up all like crazy while somebody's speaking in tongues. There's got to be the power that comes with things that's going to manifest the kingdom of God that is within. Can the kingdom of God be proved? Of course it can. It was and it shall be and it is. See, so let's go on here. He said, "Be ye followers of me, for this cause have I sent to you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Now he said, now some are puffed up as though I wouldn't come to you. Now, let's see how Paul's ways was. First Corinthians, we're going to go back to chapter 4. Hold your place in chapter 4. But we're going to see how Paul's ways was. He said, bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ. See? And he said, be followers of me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration. I said, can the kingdom of God in you? See, we say it's in us. We say Jesus is in us, but can we prove it? Sure we can. If we have the faith in God, if we have faith in who's in us, sure it can be proved. Because we have power over sicknesses, we have power over disease, we have power over the devil. We are anointed to do that which is impossible. But the church world has been plundered, and we absolutely feel helpless if we're not careful. We have been plundered to such a point that I call us POWs, prisoners of war. And what the church world has done is they have, like we're just locked up in this veil of sorrow and flesh until our great Captain Jesus comes and breaks us free. You know what it has mounted to? The church world is in a place right now as if the cross had never happened. As if the cross had never happened. See, the house of Israel had a ticket for something better. And that's all the church world's given us today. You get a ticket to go to heaven. Come get saved, get a ticket. And then live in the realm of the fallen. And what I mean by that is, whether sickness, disease, sorrow, all that's a result of the fall. And long as there's one thing left in us that's of the fall, we're not totally saved yet. We're not totally... See, the word saved means to be made whole or be brought back to the original plan and purpose God had in mind. And Adam didn't have them problems before he sinned. So, it said, here's Paul, teach them to be followers of me and to bring them in remembrance of my ways. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but my speech and my preaching was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You know what? People get scared when you start talking about them being responsible to have the power. Because now they're afraid, will people think I'm not spiritual? Well, what if I can't get it done? You know what? You got your eyes on you. Your faith is in you instead of Jesus. And we're going to have to get our faith in Him. Our confidence is in Him, not in ourselves. You see, if your confidence is in yourself, then you're going to lose confidence every time you don't reach what you felt like was your best. That's right. Amen. Verse 19. That's right. But I will come to you soon. Now, I just showed you. He said, be you followers of me. See, what a lot of people call followers of somebody is they'll chase Brother Benny Hinn around all over the country to every meeting he's got or somebody else. And they're followers of him. That's not a follower. The only way you're going to be a follower of somebody is if you're doing what they do. And see, we're not interested in just getting bigger and bigger crowds and having more and more people healed. We're interested in listen, if every one of us gets equipped so we can go out and lay hands on the sick, cast out devils.
Yes, thank you.
Think how many multitudes would be touched much more than it will ever get come to a meeting. I'm interested in the kingdom of God. See, that's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested I tell them at home, I'm not interested in making our church bigger. I'm interested in the kingdom of God getting outside our walls. See, so, and you know what? Now let me tell you something. Our church is going to get bigger if we do that. You see? So, now let's see what he said. But I will come to you soon. Now, we found out how he come. His preaching wasn't in man's wisdom, but it was in demonstration of the power of God, wasn't it? He said, I'll come to you soon if the Lord's will, Lord wills, and I shall find out not the works of those who are arrogant, but I'll find out their power. In other words, I won't find out how much you think you know, or how good your doctrine is, how good of the message you know, but I want to see the demonstration of the power of God. Is God working in you? Is the kingdom of God in you? See, when people say it's in us, you know, I've become ashamed to say it was in me when I realized it never come without power. I told our church, I said, it's time for us to put up or shut up. Told Brother Donnie on the way up here, I said, I've told the church, I said, look, I'm not interested in pastoring the church just to be pastoring the church. If we're not going to demonstrate the kingdom of God, let's lock the doors. Let's quit. If we're not going to do what Jesus did, if we're only going to have a story to tell. See, people just telling people about Jesus. Won't you show them? See, I mean, there's something here. Telling's not enough. I'm going to show us here. Can the kingdom of God be proved? Absolutely it can. And he said, I'll find out. He said, what kind of power you got? He said, for the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. What do you desire? He's asking them because they was arrogant against him. What do you desire? That I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? What he's simply saying is, I got the power to back up what I'm saying. God backs up what I'm saying. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. How many times have you been where the gospel came in word only? I'm not interested in that anymore. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Let's go to Mark chapter 16, verse 14. We'll read through 18. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Verse 15. And he said to them, you know what he dealt with first before he said to them? He dealt with their unbelief. I'm telling you something, we're not going to go into all the world. We're not going to do what he said to do until our unbelief is dealt with. We've got to... Listen, I had a lot of scriptural doubts. You know what that means? That means my understanding of the scriptures created doubt in me. Yes. All right. Amen. That's what... I mean, I really did. I said, oh, well, I can't pray for the sick because I don't have the gift of healing. That's a doubt. Got a doubt right there. Well, here's how the Lord diffused that doubt. He got rid of that doubt. Listen, in every army, you've got what they call them, these sharpshooters. But every soldier carries a gun. And they all know how to use it. In other words, you've got people who specialize. They may have a gift of something, but it's kind of like playing basketball. I'm telling you something. When I played basketball for several years, and if I was the only one down there and they throwed me the ball and I waited for somebody else to come shoot, they'd have thrown me off the team. It wouldn't matter if you was the point guard or the best shot or not. If you had a layup and there was nobody around you, you better shoot the ball. You see what I'm saying? You can't say, well, I'm not the, you know, I don't have the, that's a doubt. Let me tell you something. The Spirit of God didn't divide this here. He said unto them, go you to all the world, preach the gospel, which is the good news of what? I can show you. I mean, matter of fact, I'll show you what it is. It's not, the gospel is not what the church world is preaching. They're preaching that Jesus died for our sins, and if you'll come and repent and get saved, you can go to heaven and miss hell. That is not the gospel. That is not the gospel. Now, that's the gospel according to religion, but that is not the gospel according to the scriptures of Jesus. You see? Now, they've got some partial truth. I was telling Brother Donnie, I said, we've been fed just enough. We've been fed enough good things to keep us coming back, but then we're filled up with the garbage that has no value. You know what? You can fill up with potato chips or you can fill up with broccoli, but when you're full, you're still full. You don't want no more, whether it be good or bad. In other words, you can fill up with nutritious stuff or you can fill up with junk, but when you're full, you're full. And what has happened is we give us just enough sweet things of God and then plunder us from all the power and promise it ever somewhere else or some other time and then fill up with everything else and just, like I say, we've been plundered and we just keep plodding on, waiting for a better day. You see, when Jesus Christ is in us right now, and I don't know how much closer you're going to get than that. And you know what? It said Christ in you is the hope of glory. And I remember when the Lord gave me that revelation, I preached it to the top of my lungs as hard as I could preach it. And I said it quietly, and I said it every way I knew to say it. And it was like, yeah, He's in us, I know. We've been taught from Sunday school, Jesus is in our heart. They did not understand. And you start talking about what you could get in heaven, everybody jump up and clap their hands and what's going to be in the kingdom to come. And boy, you get people excited. But they wasn't excited about Jesus being in them. We've been plundered. We've been spoiled. The power of it has been took away. We've been sorcerized. Wizards behind pulpits. See, that's what it amounts to. And it has robbed us of the power. The congregation and the church of God would have a whole different face on it if we was walking in the power of the kingdom of God that's in us. But see, you've got to have faith in that. Now, let me go on here. He said in Thessalonians 5, our gospel didn't come to you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance, as you know, of what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Then in Mark 16:14, he appeared to the 11. He said, go to in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized. Now, I said that earlier. It's not the ones that was preaching. He said, you go and preach. And he that believeth and is baptized. In other words, they accept the message of the gospel. The good news. If I forget it, you tell me that I said that's not the gospel. I'm going to deal with that here in just a minute. It says these signs. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that does not receive or accept, they will be damned. And these signs shall follow them. Let me say it like this: that you preached to, and they believed it. I'm telling you, folks, there's a gospel we ain't even heard. That's the truth. There's a gospel. There is a good news. The power of the cross is greater. I don't even know how to preach it like it ought to be preached. So that men's and women's faith can take hold and they can believe and receive. And it says, and these signs will follow them. It didn't say these signs will follow some of them. These signs will follow a few of them. I'm telling you, we ain't heard what we need to hear, so we can believe. See? We've not understood because we preached what our fathers preached, and we get a little revelation and change a little bit. It's kind of like Abraham thought he'd really done something because he left Ur, but he brought all the baggage with him. He brought all his family, and God told him to get up and get away from all of them. But he really thought he'd made a great move. And God said, no, that's not the move. You're going to have to, there's another move you've got to make because you didn't do it. It's kind of like people in all their indoctrination of different denominations and things, they get a little bit of insight, but they bring all the rest of it with them. It's kind of like the house of Israel coming out of Egypt, but all of Egypt didn't come out of them. You know, I mean, there's still yet some longings. There's still yet some falling back on certain things when things get hard or when things. I remember so well because as the Lord began to deal with my heart and began to speak to my heart, I would think, oh God, who can I say this to? Who can I tell? I was beginning to feel isolated. And I remember I would say, oh, it would be so wonderful just belong to a denomination where everybody just agree with you. You know, I mean, it would be comforting. It would be comforting to be able to go somewhere, and when you walk in a strange place, you walk in and everybody believes the same thing. Oh, what a comfort. I longed for unity of the brotherhood, and so I didn't like, I was uncomfortable with you know, and I would weep and I would cry and I say, God, where can I preach this? What can I say? Who will listen to this? And there's many things yet today that it's that way. We have to keep going. We're going to have to keep growing. There's many things that I'm telling you something like I said, we have not heard the gospel like it needs to be preached, that faith will spring up in people's hearts and the signs will follow.
Amen.
Amen. See, I believe we're coming to it. We're not coming to it because God has been holding us back from it. We're coming to it because we've been plundered. See, let's don't blame God for our lack of having been there, because the Scripture said 2,000 years ago that He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. It's already been available. It's on the table. And you know what? The enemy says, oh, well, you can't have this till later. You can't have that till later. Now, you can eat this. And you can eat this. But now this other stuff's reserved for some other time. That ain't what the Scriptures say. But that's how we've been plundered. And people believe that, like I say, we've been sorcerized. You know, it's actually spiritual witchcraft behind the pulpits. And it says, they shall take up serpents. It says, these signs will follow them in my name. You'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. We got that one. Everybody says, boy, I know I got the Holy Ghost. I got the proof of it because I'm speaking in tongues. Do you cast out devils? That's part of it. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them, hurt them. If they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Does that happen? Do we have the Holy Ghost? Have we believed? You see what I'm saying? You understand? I am not interested in religion. I'm interested in facing myself, facing you. I'm interested in getting you to face yourself before God and being honest and saying, God, I need help. God, help us. Change us. God, adjust us. Because we are not fulfilling the picture that you made of us in the Scriptures. So change me, Lord. Help me, Lord. You know, I realized we was praying for a lot of people. Wasn't getting nobody healed hardly. You know, I had a few faith accidents myself. My fingers grew back that was cut off, and my back that had disc crushed and stuff was healed and things. I had some things happen that was awesome miracles, but over a 20-year period of time, you know, the Lord spoke to my heart one day. I was driving down the road, and He said, why don't you quit preaching 2,000-year-old miracles? And I said, well, Lord, that's all I got. That's all I got. Anytime we get excited and a person preaches about a miracle that happened 2,000 years ago and you got nothing to demonstrate now, I'm telling you something, we've been plundered. You see? So He said here, He said they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I'm telling you something, like I said, we're not doing the ministry of Jesus if we're not doing all that He said and all that He did. We're not doing His ministry. We may be working at it. We may be trying, but we're not doing His ministry. In John chapter 14, verse 12, He said this. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And He didn't even stop there. He said, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. That's right. The only way they could pass away is if He did. Greater works shall you do. Now, I don't know, might be in some of us here. There's a concept, there's a message that has been preached, and I have been a part of it in years gone by. In other words, I preached it too. That we only have a small portion. We only have a down payment. It's called an earnest. And we break this up like the Holy Ghost is just 10%. He said He's given us the earnest of the Spirit. Listen, He gave you the Holy Ghost. You call Him the Holy Ghost. You calling God 10%? Yes, we have. Our doctrine has... See, that's that same message that puts everything away off out yonder somewhere. But that, now, there's a message that says, well, but that was Jesus. And He was, you know, He was the Son of God. That was Jesus. Of course Jesus did that. Let me tell you something. I'm going to make some strong statements because I don't have long, and I'll make them and run, Brother Glenn. I'm going to make some strong statements. Jesus had no more anointing than you or I. Praise God. I'm amongst friends. He had no more anointing than you or I in this. Let me tell you something. You say, well, the Spirit was given to Him without measure. Well, you think it was given to you by measure? Yes, we have been taught that. But let me just give you the reasoning of that right quick and dispel that doubt. Okay? If Jesus said, the works I do, you will do, and greater, if you're going to do that with less anointing, then you're greater than Jesus. If you're going to do greater works with less Spirit, with less anointing, then you're greater than Jesus. I don't believe I'm greater than Jesus. The Bible said plainly that if we could comprehend the depth, width, breadth, and height of the love of God, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, we could be filled with all the fullness. Now, if you're filled with all the fullness, what's left? We just need to comprehend the love of God. We need to understand this is a labor of love in the sense of God loves His creation. He loved His plan. He loved the world that He began, the cosmos. That's the one He loved. He didn't love the one that had to pass away. See, people don't understand what cosmos God so loved that He gave His Son. He had a plan and a cosmos in mind when He made man, when He put man in a, and made a physical man and put him in a natural creation, when He made a natural creation other than the spirit realm. When He made a whole nother new dimension, God loved the cosmos that He had in mind, and He put man in charge of all of the works of His hand. That's what the Scripture says. What is man? Remember that? Put him on all the works of His hand. Well, God loved that which Adam lost. That's what redemption means. To be redeemed means to be brought back or bought back to the original. See, when we understand that, we understand that there's a plan and a purpose of God that what the church world's teaching has nothing to do with. What the church world's made is this is just all about us enjoying forever dancing around the throne, having gold streets and things like this. And don't get offended at me. That's just what's being taught. And what God has in mind, He made man for a purpose. And you know what? Man lived a little while in sin, and God never did get to see what He... fulfill what He had in mind when He made man. But you know, that's why I sent Jesus to redeem us back.
Yes. Yes.
See, I'm amazed. I might have said it the other night. I'm amazed at people that they'll let our spirit live, and some of them even let our soul live, but they don't want our body to live. Oh, it has to die. Well, if Jesus redeemed us from everything that Adam done, from the consequences of the fall. Then I have never, if Jesus signed my pardon, I ain't never seen a prison yet that the pardon was signed and the man had to do the time. Have you? Still pay the consequences. If you're forgiven, you're forgiven. But see, we've been plundered. We've been plundered. That's what it amounts to. And I know I'm saying some strong things and a lot of things that you may have questions about, but let me get in the rest of this here. It says, the greater works than these shall He do because I go to my Father. I'm telling you something. The reason He went to the Father so that the anointing of God, the power of God, the same anointing is on Him, the same glory would be given unto us. Now let's go on Matthew 4:23, and it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee. Now remember what He said. He said, preach the gospel. Well, what gospel? He went all about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom And what did he do when he preached the gospel of the kingdom? He healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. That's where the Lord challenged me. He said, you think you got the right message? If you ain't healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases, you may not be preaching the kingdom. You may be saying kingdom, but you may not be preaching the true kingdom. You may not be preaching the power of this thing and lining it out where people can receive it and receive their healing. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He said that twice in Matthew 4, and he said it in Matthew 9.
Okay, then.
In John 5:36. Jesus said, I have a greater witness than that of John. Is that what he said? For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, they bear witness of me that the Father has sent me, and the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness. This is very important. The works bear witness. And the Father hath borne witness. The question that I have before us today is, can the kingdom of God in you be proved? The works bear witness. The Father beareth witness. Now let's go on here. He said in John 10:41, it says, many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle. Got to get this. He said, what did Jesus say? He said, I have a greater witness than John. He had miracles. Jesus had miracles. He had a greater witness than John. John did no miracle. You know what the scripture said? John said, he must increase and I must decrease. You know what? If John's ministry had no miracles, and in the church world today it has increased, and Jesus' ministry has decreased. We got it backwards. He must increase the ministry of Jesus, which is the power and demonstration of the Spirit, not just a story to tell. That must increase, and the ministry of no miracles, no signs, no wonders, nothing like that, must decrease.
Amen.
No wonder people fluff us off.
That's right. That's
right. See? No wonder. Now, let's go on here. John 10:24. How much time have I got, brother? I'll never get there.
We're feasting, brother. We're feasting.
That's right.
Amen. We're not. We can put it in another
tape. I'll wear that tape recorder out. So, long as you're getting something, I want it to flow out. I want to pour out. All right. Chapter 5 of John. Let's see. No. Chapter 10 of John, verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long do you make us doubt? If you be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus said, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, look here, they bear witness of me.
Hallelujah.
Now, this next verse, in verse 37, is so important. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. How many preachers would dare say that today? If signs and wonders and miracles and demons cast out and the dead raised don't follow, because that's the works of the Father. We done saw what that work, the works was. Then don't believe us. Well, we wouldn't have no congregation. We wouldn't have no crowds. There would be nobody in the churches as a whole. He said, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe me not. In other words, you know what he said? If you don't even believe my message, believe my works.
Right.
I've said so many times, what we have to say is, if you don't believe my message, please believe our message. No other recourse there, see? Please just believe what I say. See how unscriptural that is? And the church world has swallowed it, and you and I have swallowed it hook, line, and sinker as a whole. Do you realize the works that we do still bear witness that Jesus is the Christ. It's still important that people believe that Jesus was the Christ. Even the ungodly world will give consent that Jesus was historical. But can the kingdom be proved in you? If like I say, the works that we do, he said, the works I do, you shall do, and greater. The works that we do still will bear witness. People need to know that there is a Savior. They're not interested in hearing about the Jesus of our religion. They're interested in more than a story. The works we do still bear witness that Jesus is the Christ. And there's still an absolute important need for that in the earth today. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you. How was he approved of God? You want to be approved of God? I want to be approved of God.
Amen.
Approved of God among you. How was he approved of God? By miracles and wonders and signs. That's how God showed his approval. You know, realize that the church world had many congregations have looked to their pastor, or they've looked to a prophet or an apostle or a certain teacher or something to be approved of God. But most congregations has never looked for the approval of God in their own life. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Don't we need, we need some help, and God is available and willing to help us. Praise the Lord. It says, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know. Mark chapter 16 and 20. And they went forth preaching everywhere. What were they preaching? The gospel of the kingdom. Why? Because the kingdom of God is with power. How long has the kingdom of God been here? Well, Jesus said there'd be some that was standing there would not taste of death till they saw it come with power. So he says, and they went forth preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. And what did the Lord do? He witnessed, or he showed his approval. He said, confirming the word. You know what? It's interesting that we have just relegated and delegated this Bible to history and act like we have no responsibility for these things for ourselves. There's not a saint in here, there's not a person in here that's been born of the Spirit that the power of God don't want to use to set others free. Listen, like I said, you may need to be trained. You may need to be taught. There's needs to be fathers. And there's need for instructors. But have a vision and a goal more than warming a pew and coming two or three times a week to get a blessing. I'm not so sure that if we get to where we're doing it right, there wouldn't probably one of us have to have what we call a regular job. You could live off the ministry. My goodness, think of the thousands of dollars. You know, we pray for some people that sometimes they got $800-$900 a month medicine bills. I mean, not that you would ask for that. That's not what I'm saying. But I want to tell you something. I know one thing. When I'm helped, I want to help. When I'm loved, what does the Bible say? We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. When I'm loved, I want to love. There's just something in us. When we're blessed, we want to bless. And so I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is like leaven. Ain't that what it said? It's like leaven. And it fills and permeates. But what we've done, we just kept it in a few people and told the rest of them about it. I want it spread into the saints of God for the work of the ministry. You see, so he said in verse, it's important that we see this one in Acts chapter 4, verse 29. He said he confirmed the word with signs following. And then it said, amen. I like that. That's another word. That's the way it ought to be. You know, so in Acts chapter 4, verse 29, verse 33. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Peter is praying. He's gotten out of jail. He's been set free. They've been suffering persecution, and they've come together. They've come to their own crowd, their own group here. And he says, and you behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word How are they going to speak thy word? Look here. By stretching forth thy hand to heal. Isn't that something? That's how you can speak the word of God. It says that they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. But there's something really important. He said that they may do this by stretching forth thy hand.
Yeah.
How in the world do you stretch forth Jesus' hand? Except you be the body of Christ.
Right.
See, we've been plundered. We haven't known who we were. We haven't known who He is in us. Everything's been delegated to somewhere else, another time, another day, another this or another that. And 2,000 years ago, these things is recorded for us. And they was operating in much of it in the early church, and it got lost. And we act like we wasn't even supposed to have been operating in it till now. See, it makes us feel good. So it cloaks our nakedness. It cloaks our insufficiency. It cloaks that we have not been doing the works that Jesus did. It makes us look spiritual even though we haven't. And that's a filthy garment. That's a filthy garment. Man, I tell you, I want to be washed. I want to take off the filthy garments of pride and wanting to look good and wanting to look right and spiritual and all these things and stay hungry before God. Stay hungry, understanding. My goodness, I was sharing with Brother Donnie on the way down here. I said, you know, we just touching the surface. We're just learning a little bit. It's like having a Venetian blind and you see the sun shining through one of the slats, and it's just a testimony of the great light that's out there. That's how I feel. I mean, my goodness, we're just barely seeing the glory that is to be revealed in us. And God's not withholding it, folks. He has withheld nothing good from us. It says that by stretching forth thy hand, they may speak thy word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Do you realize when you pray for somebody, you're doing it? Let me tell you something. The Lord spoke this to me in a meeting we just come from. I was just sitting there and God spoke to me. He said, you will never do nothing in my name unless you're doing it in my stead. People saying, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And then they want the glory, they are this or that. You know, you'll never do nothing in my name unless you do it in my stead. In other words, you're on business for the King. He wants it done. He'll back it up. He told you to go do it. Why would he withdraw himself? That's what David did. You know, David did that to Uriah. He sent him out there and then he withdrew his support. God's not going to do that. Acts chapter 8, verse 13. Can the kingdom of God be proved? Sure it can. We've shown over and over and over and over how they were proving the kingdom of God on a regular basis. Well, is the kingdom of God different today? No. No, it's no different today. Why would we say we're just now coming into this when they had it 2,000 years ago? What happens? We lost it. We might just be now, but it ain't no new revelation. It may be new to us, but it ain't no new revelation. It's been written all this time. They operated in much of it. And it says, then Simon himself believed also, verse 13. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. And look here what he done. Philip was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And he said he continued with him and wondered. Why did he wonder? Beholding the miracles and signs which were done. And he had the audacity to want to buy it. Wasn't that him? Didn't understand that Christ was in him. That it was not Philip, it was Christ in him. That when he was, Philip was reaching his hand out, he was reaching Jesus' hand out. Man, we got to get an identity. We're one with him. He's in us and we're in him. We've got this God exterior, God mind, instead of Christ in us mind. And that's got to be changed. So he said in Acts chapter 14, verse 3, Brother Glenn, if you'll tell me when I've got about 5 minutes, I'll try to unplug.
I'll put another station.
Yeah, but I was
I was kidding about wearing that tape machine out. Praise the Lord. I said, kidding, not worrying. May need prayer for my voice. I've about preached to death before I ever got here. Acts 14:3. Long time they abode there, or therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, and gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and what happened? And granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. You know what? When I started searching this, I seen every time they preached the word, signs and wonders happened. God confirmed the message, which gave me rise to my wife and I, in the privacy of our just, you know, being honest with one another. Honey, where are we standing with God? We have we got the right message? Because signs and wonders is not being, it's not being confirmed every time we speak. I mean, you know, just being honest, hungry for the things of God, willing to change, willing to hear, you know, man. So, you know, I began to, through a divine appointment, a lady called me from Texas, the secretary of a minister, and called and said, this is so-and-so with the ministry of so-and-so, and would you like for us to send you a tape? It won't cost you nothing. We'll just send you a tape. On healing ministry. And I said, well, sure. I listened to the tape and I told my wife, I said, I'm having that man come. He's not just interested in getting people healed, and he sees 4 or 5 healings a month. But he's not just interested in getting people healed, but he's interested in teaching people how to dispel their doubts. And so when he come, I said, how did you get my name? And he said, I have no idea. And he said, and what's more, it is not a policy in our office to ever call anybody and offer them a tape. And we have learned much. You know, here's the thing. Just get humble and be willing to learn. Be willing to change. I shared with him, you know, I talked to him on the phone before he came, and I said, I've listened to your tape, and it was just a service. And I said, the Lord has really touched my heart, because you have a heart to do more than just get somebody delivered or get somebody healed or just to help them in their trouble. But you have a heart to teach them how to walk in that so that they might become a tool of the Father also. And I said, that's touched my heart. And, you know, and I told him, I said, you know, we've had some miracles. We've had, you know, we've had a certain measure of success and things like that. But, We was always quite intimidated, in the sense that I used to try to judge, see if somebody was worthy to get healed or get delivered when they come. And, you know, I was trying to use I called it discernment, but actually all it was suspicion, you know. And so anyway, that's how it was, you know. And like I said, if I know what you did Saturday night, buddy, you just well not come up here, because I was going to have no faith to pray for you. Because, you know, now I know. I mean, it amazed me to find out that Jesus wants to heal everyone. He wants to deliver everyone. You know what? You don't have to have been doing right. We prayed for a lot of people and saw God perform miracles on them that wasn't serving God and didn't even intend to. I used to think, well, you got to get right before God will touch you. That's not even true either. Let me tell you something. The Bible said it's the goodness of God that leads people to repent. There wasn't none of them multitudes saved that he healed. And I'll guarantee you there was probably some wicked rascals in there that had some problems, and the Bible said he healed them all. See? I mean, there was people that didn't deserve. Matter of fact, they caused their own problems, a lot of them probably. And he still delivered and healed them all. That's his desire. That's his heart. That's his mercy and his grace. Let me read a scripture here. He granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. In Romans 15:19, it says, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Holy Ghost, that from Jerusalem
and roundabout unto, somebody else pronounce it, Illyricum. I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. You can't preach the gospel of the kingdom without preaching Christ. But you can preach what people call Christ. They can preach the cross without preaching the kingdom. Now, they do that. What I'm saying, they ain't preaching the cross right. But they can tell people about Jesus, and like I say, they can get them a ticket to go to heaven, and that ain't preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, I said I would deal with that. I wanted to show you what Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom was, the good news that the realm of the Spirit has come to heal, save, and deliver us. He didn't even say nothing about taking you to heaven. That ain't the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is in you. See, the gospel of the kingdom is the presence of God. God came here. Thy kingdom come.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.